Hello guys and welcome to Otson qualifiers for the World Cup in the UEFA. We have the ninth match day. We have Dani Fisichella with us to analyze some good games. We have Italy, Switzerland, we have Greece, Spain. So let's analyze the best games with you as well. Leave a comment in the comment section and don't forget, click on the like, subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications. And now let's go on with the show. New international break in Europe and we have many interesting games. Dani, the road to Qatar is coming to an end. How are you?
I'm really well, Eduardo. So here we are, penultimate game of the European qualifications. Denmark and Germany are already qualified to Qatar. Belgium, England, France, they are almost there, but this is a crucial weekend for teams like Portugal, Spain, Italy. They need wins to make sure they will be in the next World Cup and not through the playoffs.
So let's start actually with Portugal. Group A, they are going to Dublin. Ireland, Portugal. Portugal, they suffer a lot to beat Ireland when they were playing in Portuguese soil, despite the very poor performance of the Irishmen during this qualification round. Dani, now the odds for Portugal are 1.41. Ireland, they've been very poor, I said, well, but they've improved a little bit as slightly the last times, at least, for instance, against Serbia, they got a point, they drew in Dublin.
Yes, Ireland lost only one game of the last eight, and that was in Portugal. 2-1 defeat, Ronaldo, of course, in stoppage time. The Irish were really unlucky, I think, because they troubled Portugal a lot. They sat deep, they scored early, and they made life difficult. However, it's not all good for Ireland, despite, yes, only losing one of the last eight, because they only won two in the last 22 games, and before they won the last two games against Azerbaijan and Qatar, their winless streak was 20 games winless for Stephen Kenny, a team who's putting together a very young team, a lot of players who used to play in his under 21. They are building up experience at the international level. However, some of them, perhaps they don't even play regularly in their clubs. They scored 7 in the last two, as we said, against Azerbaijan and Qatar. Callum Robinson has scored 5, which, by the way, in those two, it's more than what he scored this season in the Championship with West Brom. So let's see what kind of game plan they have against Portugal. I think the same. They're going to sit deep and defend, really try to restore a little bit of pride. Of course, they cannot qualify. Last good result for Ireland was a 1-1, 2-1-1 draws actually against Denmark. But we need to go back to the Euro qualifiers 2019 in a pre-pandemic world. It seems ages ago. Now, Portugal needs to win this one because they have got a game in hand. If they win, they leapfrog Serbia, and the following game, it's Portugal-Serbia, which is basically the decider for who goes through the playoff and who qualifies directly. They only conceded 4 goals in these qualifiers. They got a lot of quality up front. It's about choosing the right man, the right players in the right position. But, you know, when you got players like Bernardo Silva, who's really in form, Bruno Fernandes, who's in form, Ronaldo, of course, is in form, Adrian Silva, who proved to be really important when he came on against Ireland in the reverse fixture, Guedes as well. I think they're always going to find the goals. They won the last 5 twice against Qatar. They scored 16 goals in the last 5. I can see them scoring a couple, and I can see them scoring in both halves. Portugal to score in both halves, 2.17.
Cristiano Ronaldo, who scored a hat-trick against Luxembourg, and you are right, Dani, the important decisive game will be Portugal-Serbia the following match day. This group, Group A, is very similar to Group B, actually, and also you mentioned how Spain need to get good results to go to Qatar. Now they are traveling to Athens, Greece, Spain. When they played in Spanish soil, actually it was a draw, and Greece was able to beat Sweden. So for sure it's not going to be an easy trip for the Spanish national team. And also Luis Enrique received the bad news because Ansu Fati, who was recovered and who can be a key player for Spain, got injured again against Celta de Vigo. Spain, Dani, they are playing very good when they are playing against big teams, as we saw in the Nations League, but they always suffer against teams that sit back, and probably Greece is going to be one of them.
Yeah, and we saw it also at the Euros, you know, the famous games against Sweden and, you know, also against Poland. Yes, they do struggle when it comes to breaking team down. But finally, Spain have finally played really well in the Nations League. Lot of players. And by the way, finally, Luis Enrique is calling a Real Madrid players. Hallelujah. Carvajal, 235 days after. It's not anti-Madrid, is it? Anyway, debut for Brahim Diaz in this Spain team. Brahim Diaz recovering from COVID yesterday, played the Milan derby. So, I think so. What Luis Enrique has in this team is a stronger squad than what he had at the Nations League, because he's coming back Morata, who's the only number nine, by the way, still without Oyarzabal, without Gerard Moreno, without Ferran Torres, but he also got Jordi Alba, Gaia, Dani Olmo, Soler back. So I think he's getting more of his group of players that he trusted more together. You know, pity for Marcos Alonso, left out inexplicably, but that tells you the depth in strength that this Spanish team has. Also, Jeremy Pino is going to be there. Fornals is playing really well for West Ham. So yeah, I think he's a strong Spanish team with a clear mentality, with a clear style of play. We saw it in the Nations League against Italy and against France, and they are definitely favorites. If we need to find a weakest link in this Spain, probably Eric Garcia, the centre-back who's not having a great season. So again, the partnership with Laporte, is going to play Pau Torres, we'll see. But anyway, the last time they lost Spain, apart from the Nations League final, which they didn't deserve to lose with that goal that should have been disallowed, it's in November 2020, 6-0 to Germany. This is a team that has been improving, needs to find to score more, but we saw good things from them. And now, of course, they need to win this one to then have a chance to beat Sweden at home and qualify for the World Cup directly. Now, Greece, no clean sheets in the last 10 games. They were a little bit lucky against Sweden when they beat them at home 2-1. The Swedes hit the post twice. They were not really in the game. I don't think Greece is a very inspiring side. Although at home, they could be hard to beat because although they don't play a spectacular football, it's quite speculative in a way. They are unbeaten in the last 10. The last defeat was in June 2019, again, it seems ages ago, but little caveat, they never played a top team at home in this spell, apart from Sweden. Probably the best player, the most informed player, is the keeper, Vlacho Dimos from Benfica. We saw him some heroics in the Champions League. Is he gonna be enough to stop Spain? By the way, Greece have got a little hope to still make it in the playoff. I think Spain's a favorite. Spain should win this one. I can see goals. I was really impressed by Spain in producing a lot of chances in the Nations League finals. Over 2.5 goals, 2.19.
Sweden, they are playing in Georgia in another key game of this group. The next one is going to be Spain-Sweden. And for instance, also Ferran Torres is out, a very important player for Luis Enrique. And Group C, here we in the Olimpico, we have Italy-Switzerland, 3 points more for Italy. They played one more game, so a draw probably will make the job for Italy to top this group. If they win, they are directly first of this group. Switzerland, they were able to draw at home soil against Italy at that time. Dani, Italy, they missed a penalty, but they were also a little bit hungover from the victory in the UEFA, in the Euros. They also drew at home against Bulgaria, but problems for Mancini, especially in defense. No Bonucci, no Chiellini. Do you also like this new Swiss team with Jacquin on the bench?
Well, I think they've been really, really solid. Jacquin has built on some of the previous strength, which was, you know, good defense, an excellent keeper, a good back line, a midfield with Freuler and Xhaka, which is back now. He didn't play the previous qualifier, that protects the back four. And then, yes, quickness up front, Mbolo especially. Depends if they will have Seferovic for this one. I don't think they will have, which will play a big difference. Although he was nullified by Italian defenders back in the Euros when Italy beat them 3-0. The strength of Switzerland is that they keep clean sheets. They kept 5 clean sheets in the qualifiers. They're hard to break down against lesser teams, as we saw against Northern Ireland. They can easily find a way to score and unpick them. The big question mark with Switzerland is how they're going to perform against the top teams. But we saw them at the Euros, you know, troubling France and troubling, of course, Spain in the quarterfinals. Now, with Italy, this is a crunching game, because this is the game that Italy has been waiting for over 4 years, since the playoff against Sweden. A defeat here means playoff for Italy again, and the phantom of the past, the ghost of the past, taking hold of this game. You know, Italy are in a good position, because obviously they probably just need a draw and a win in Northern Ireland to go through. But they made their life a little bit complicated with that 1-1 draw in at home against Bulgaria. Now, today in this game, on Friday, they're going to be a big substance, which is Verratti, which is the player in the Italian midfield that has got the best international experience, probably play at the highest level. If you look at the midfield three, okay, alongside Jorginho, Verratti, Barella, of the three, the player that plays in the biggest team, you will argue, is probably Verratti. The one that's got more international experience is Verratti. He's a key player. He's going to be replaced by Pellegrini. However, Italy also has got a solid defense, second best defense in these qualifiers, alongside Switzerland. Only one goal conceded. They are on top thanks to defense and thanks to the goal difference. I'm expecting pretty much the same formation to play the Euro, 4-3-3s, Emerson Palmieri on the left instead of the injury Spinazzola, Pellegrini. We said that. Who's going to play center back? I think one between Bonucci and Chiellini will probably make it. I will expect Chiellini to play. There is another doubt. Barella yesterday picked up an injury in the derby, so he may not be play there. But Italy have won 9 of the last 12 at home. All the 3 games at the Olympico and the Euros where Italy's wins. I can see them favorite. I can see them, of course, favorite in a low scoring game, a tense game. Italy clean sheet 191.
Then in Group D, we expect France to top this group. They are playing at home against Kazakhstan, but the second spot is quite open right now. It's in the hands of Ukraine, but we have Bosnia, Finland, and the winner here gets a real chance to be in the second spot. Bosnia, they were able actually to draw against Ukraine, getting a good result after the victory in Kazakhstan. They've only lost one game in these qualifiers at home against France. So this is a tough one to call, probably, Danny, because we've seen how Finland, they usually don't concede many goals. They are coming from another victory against Kazakhstan. How do you see this Bosnia-Finland again, probably in this round of fixtures, one of the hardest ones to call?
Totally. Also because the draw is absolutely useless for any of these teams. Now, if Bosnia wins this game and then they beat Ukraine at home, they go through the playoff. Finland also have a little bit of hope. If they win this one and they outscore Ukraine due to the goal difference, then they need to beat France at home and they can qualify. Obviously, it's more in Bosnia's hands than in Finland's hands. However, Bosnia are a little bit unpredictable. I think it's a team that, since those exploits of Brazil 2014 and the golden generation Bosnia, they haven't really rejuvenated themselves. They haven't really found new talent. They still rely on the old journeyman, Dzeko, which, by the way, is doing really well in Serie A. He's outscoring Lukaku, but yesterday picked up a muscular injury in the derby, so he might not be present for this game. And also Pjanic has not been playing so much at Beşiktaş. I find Bosnia, as I said, a quite uninspiring team. They have very poor results in the Nations League previously to these qualifiers. It's an old team. They always score at home, at least they always score in the last 5, but they only won one of the last 11 home games. Now, Finland, the reverse fixture, so we said 2-2, a little bit of a freak result, because normally they're quite tight at the back, they're quite conservative, they sit very deep. They don't score many, in fact. They only score 7 in the qualifiers, 3 against Kazakhstan, so take them out of the equation, and lost 4 of the last 7 away games. There, my man is Pukki. He will be happy. He scored at the weekend, finally. Norwich won the game, sacked the manager, so at least he goes there with the morale up. X2, double chance. Finland X2, 190.
Puki, who also scored the two goals against Kazakhstan. Then this is Group D. We jump into Group F, where Denmark, they are top in the group, 21 points. We expect them to beat at home Faroe Island.
And they're already qualified. Up.
Yeah, already qualified. But the second spot is still a bit open. The Austria and Israel, they have to challenge Scotland now with 4 points of advantage. So if they want to have an option at least to go to Qatar, they have to win this game. Austria-Israel, with Austria real favorites, but they've been very poor in this road to Qatar. Probably they will miss the World Cup. They were even defeated at home against Scotland in a big surprise, one of the biggest surprises of this road to Qatar. Whereas Israel, after a good start, they had also a very painful defeat against Scotland. Danny, how do you see this Austria-Israel?
It's hard to predict because the game is pretty much useless, because as Scotland plays away to Moldova, Scotland only needs a point to go to the playoff. So this game, it's pretty much, you know, a cold turkey, if you like. However, Austria, who are the biggest disappointment of these qualifiers, they are sure of a place in the playoff due to the Nations League. So Austria gonna go and be in the playoff anyway, and they're playing this one basically for pride. Israel, they got a little hope that Scotland somehow crumble in Moldova. I can't expect it. And then in the last game, Scotland loses at home against an already qualified Denmark. I mean, a fantasy, really. So, disappointing in many ways. Disappointing in many ways, both teams. I think Austria, because first of all, they have a negative goal difference. So it's a team that looked really, really unbalanced. Whereas previously in the other qualifiers, it was 1-0 to Austria. Really, that was Franco Foda trademark. And we saw them going into Europe with that good record. Somehow, they lacked the consistency. They also lacked Arnautović in the last two games, which is a partial excuse for not doing really well. Arnautović is gonna be back. Maybe, you know, also the fact that they miss Xaver Schlager, Mönchengladbach, long time injury, one of the best midfielder, at least holding midfielders in the Euros. Anyway, Sabitzer also lacking a little bit of game time. Bayern Munich not playing much. He never played the full 90 minutes apart from two games. So, you know, it is an Austrian team with a lot of doubts. Israel, they cannot hang on to leads. They score a lot. In the first fixture, they finished 5-2. You know, even with Scotland, they were 2-1 up. It happened time and time again in these qualifiers. They are too leaky at the back. They are too exposed. Austria win, 182.
Mm-hmm. Then in Group G, this is a funny one. We have Netherlands topping this group with 16 points, and they are traveling to Montenegro. They still have options to also go to the playoff. We have also Norway and Turkey in this group, everyone fighting to get into Qatar. Danny, Montenegro, they lost actually against Norway in the last game. And their next rival is Turkey, but we've seen a very good Netherlands actually under Van Gaal in this new era for them, fully offensive, scoring many goals with Depay and Klaassen. So I guess we should expect them also to win in Montenegro.
Yeah, Norway's 2 points ahead. Netherlands 2 points ahead from Norway. They just need a win here, really. The last one as a home game, easy. So they will top the group. Reverse fixture ended 4-0 for them. Montenegro only kept two clean sheets in the last six games. Montenegro, really, I mean, they need to win and hope that both Norway and Turkey lose the game. It's impossible for Montenegro. And again, this could be a dead rubber already in the first half. Netherlands, top scorers of these qualifiers, 29 goals scored. They scored 18 in five games since Luis Van Gaal took over. And they got a lot of choice. Out of a sudden, again, a lot of choice for Van Gaal. Finally, a call up for Danjuma. I mean, Van Gaal, we know that he didn't call it last time. He also got into an argument with a journalist about Danjuma. So finally, Danjuma is in. Gakpo left out from PSV, who's also doing really well both in Europe and domestically. Weghorst from Wolfsburg back on the score sheet. Wolfsburg, they change the manager, they start picking up points, so he's in form. Klaassen, Gravenbeck from Ajax, we all see them, what they are capable. He's an exciting team, also very young midfield, and you know, that tells you a lot about how Van Gaal is reshaping the team. Some of the players that were at the Euros got the boot, and he's changing the team slowly, but you know, he's already leaving his mark. For example, the goalkeepers have completely changed from Euro 2020. Now we got Biljo, five appearances, and he plays for Feyenoord, and this is the first time they called up Flecken from Freiburg and Drommel from PSV. So changing things around, Van Gaal preparing the team for the World Cup, which will be a key for them, and I think they could do well. Halftime, full-time, Netherlands 185.
Van Gaal angry, Danny? I don't think so.
He's never angry. Such a calm man. Yeah.
Exactly. He has a very good mood. Always. Then let's go to Group I. England, Albania. We were very surprised in the last game of the Three Lions. They were unable to beat Hungary at home. Now they are playing against Albania. They won 0-2 in Tirana. And we all know that in London there are a lot of Polish people living, and I'm sure they will be supporting England because Poland is challenging the second spot of Albania, who suffered a massive victory actually in the last game against Poland. Danny, how do you see this England-Albania? Because England, after drawing with Poland and Hungary, I guess they want to win again.
Yeah, I mean, the qualification for England is never in doubt because the next game is a San Marino away. So obviously they're going to be in Qatar straight away. They only need a point here. I think against Hungary, what happened? They struggled because Hungary was really organized. They sat down deep. They put a midfield of five. And England was coming on the back of the trip away to Andorra. I think sometimes if you're in your qualifiers, you play the weakest team first and the strongest team after, I think that could be a little bit of a disadvantage, especially if you need to play away. It's almost like, because then you change your formation completely. So you got a group of players who've been in the training camp for almost 10 days, not playing much, and then they need to play a game after a bit of, I don't know. I think I got my theory that sometimes the focus can be switched off also. It was in October, season just started. It's never easy, I think, for top teams to perform consistently, especially at the beginning of the season. But England is going to be fired up for this one. They are better than Albania, just because, you know, not because they won the reverse fixture 2-0. They got much better quality. We'll see probably Jude Bellingham again in the middle of the pitch. Smith Rowe from Arsenal is being called up as well. So, again, Southgate also giving chances to youth player. We'll probably see Smith Rowe against San Marino. Albania, they lost the chance to go second, losing to Poland. They suffered too much pressure, I think. Too much pressure at home, too much expectancy. A team that is still young with relatively not enough international experience, and they crumbled. I mean, they saw also the scenes after Poland scored the goals and the troubles, etc. Too much for Eddie Reyes' team, Italian manager. Most of the players for Albania, they play in Italy. Haizai for Lazio, Bairami, these are the star players. The other ones, they don't start many players. Many times in Italy, interesting strikers they got in Armando Broja, 20 years old, played for Southampton, 4 goals. Okay, he'll have to deal with a solid England back. For Maguire, plays a little bit better for the national team than what he does for Manchester United, for sure. They won in Hungary, Albania, lost in Poland and Czech Republic, quite recently. They won the Nations League group, Albania, but they cannot qualify through the road, so they're probably out of the World Cup because in the FIFA ranking, they're quite low, over 3 goals, 209. If you finish 2-1, 1-2, 3-0, 0-3. For Albania, yeah, whatever. You get your money back anyway.
Goals for you in Wembley.
You're not going to finish 3-0 for Albania. Let's put it that way.
No, I don't think so. But who knows? This is football. Our last game, we go to the group topped by Germany, but the second spot is at stake. We have North Macedonia, Armenia, and Romania. Romania, they are playing against Iceland. They have to win. And let's see what happened in this game. Danny, in Yerevan, Armenia, North Macedonia, both have an amazing opportunity in the their history to go at least to the playoff for Qatar. No one thought about Armenia when we saw the draw, but Joaquin Caparrós is making a great job, especially in the beginning of this road to Qatar. They were able to draw in Skopje 0-0, and North Macedonia, it's true that they were defeated 0-4 by Germany, but they are gaining experience. We saw them in the Euros, they were able even to beat Germany in German soil. What do you expect here? Because as we can see, the odds tell us that this might be a draw.
But the draw is useless, because the draw is the only result that basically qualifies Romania, who's going to beat Iceland. Now, for Armenia, who are winless in the last seven, haven't kept a clean sheet in eight, this is a really massive task. Because they don't only have to beat Macedonia, they need to beat Germany at home next. You know, very difficult. The reverse fixtures ended 0-0. As I said, I don't think it's going to be a 0-0, because no one needs a draw. Armenia started well in the qualifiers with three wins. Then they let it slip a little bit, probably also because of deep inform of the star players, Mkhitaryan, who has been playing for Roma recently. And again, you know, these small nations, with all due respect, they also rely on the big man, on the star player, to perform on the day. They won the Nations League group, Armenia, mostly collecting good results at home, but again, they cannot qualify because of the FIFA ranking, so they need to win this one. North Macedonia, not doing great either. After that massive win in Germany in the qualifiers, they did okay at the Euros, they show they are organized, but they always suffer against big team, as we expect. They only won one of the last five, North Macedonia. The next one, it's a bit easier because they go Iceland at home. So if they win this one and they keep 1 point below Romania, they got a hope. So they need to go really a gung-ho. And, you know, basically North Macedonia squandered the chance with a 2-2 draw away against a very poor Ireland. These teams know each other very well. They also play in the recent Nations League. Armenia won 1-0 at home. The Macedonia won 2-1 in Macedonia, both to score 2-0-6, because I said the draw is absolutely useless.
Great, Danny. We will have a lot of fixtures in the following days in Europe. We've analyzed the first games that we have Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And for sure, you can give us an ACA with these games.
Okay, five games. Let's start in Athens, Spain to win, then go back to Rome, Italy to win, Bosnia, Finlandia both to score, Netherlands to score in both halves against Montenegro, and finally England, Albania, England Nation Handicap minus 1.5. The total odds are quite high, 16-22.
Cool, Danny, thank you very much. Let's keep enjoying these international fixtures and see you soon.
See you soon, Edu. Bye-bye.
So now you have all the info to bet in these first games in the UEFA Road to Qatar, the most interesting games we've analyzed with Dani Fisichella. We want to know also your opinion, remember, so leave a comment below with your tips and predictions for this match day. And don't forget, you can support us, click on the like, subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications. Or if you prefer, also remember, we have a podcast for you. See you soon and enjoy European games.